Let's pray. Father, speak to us today and give us a fresh appreciation of the gift of life and our lives as being such from you. Refresh us, we pray, as we seek to understand your word. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to start with a question, and if you can, depending on what answer you give, you'll actually be dating yourself potentially by the question. Who can remember the song, What's It All About, Alfie? One, two, three. Okay, it's been around for a long while, and I haven't heard it for a long time myself. It was written in the 60s and was made popular by a singer called Celia Black. It was originally written for a movie called Alfie, and it tells the story of a womanising man who lived a self-centred life. He was only out for his own enjoyment until one day events forced him to question his very uncaring behaviour. He was confronted by his absolute loneliness and made to rethink about his priorities in life. And in part, the lyrics of the song go like this. What's it all about, Alfie? Is it just for the moment we live? That it's all about, what's it all about when you sort it out? Well, what's it all about is really the question that one way or another people have been asking down through the ages. How do we make sense of our existence? Is the world we live in just one big cosmic accident? Or is it the result of the action of a supreme God who made all things? And so what is the ultimate meaning and purpose of our existence? And it's those sorts of questions that lie behind the book of Ecclesiastes, which is the current of our current sermon series. And Ecclesiastes is not an easy read. In fact, some people find it quite depressing. To really appreciate the book, we need to understand that what the writer is doing in it is exploring some of the ways in which people seek to find meaning in life without reference to God. So of necessity, there are going to be some rather dark paths that are without any sense of hope or direction. And because we need to grasp the overall message of the book, that's why last Sunday Rob encouraged us to try and find that 14 or 15 minutes we need to read the book of the whole. And if you've done that, you'll have seen that there are bright rays of light piercing through the gloom. If you haven't done it, I encourage you to do so again. The message of Ecclesiastes is that life is a gift from God, but it's a gift that only finds its true meaning and fulfillment in relationship with the one who created us and the one who will one day be our judge. Now, one of the most significant figures of Christian history is St. Augustine. He was converted to Christianity in the year 386 AD. And sometime after that, he wrote a spiritual autobiography called Confessions. And in that book, he explores some of the dead-end paths he went down before he became a convinced Christian. And at one place in the book, he offers these words to God as a prayer. Unlovely, I rushed heedlessly among the lovely things you had made. You were with me, but I was not with you. These things kept me far from you. You have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our heart is restless until it rests in you. Hard as we may try, it's just not possible to find any ultimate meaning and purpose in life apart from God. Our hearts are restless until they find their rest in him. In last Sunday's reading from Ecclesiastes 1, there was just one reference to God. I applied my mind to examine and explore through wisdom all that is done under heaven. God has given people this miserable task to keep them occupied. I have seen all the things that are done under the sun, that had everything to be futile, a pursuit of the wind. Well, that's not exactly the thought for the day you need if you're struggling to get out of bed and you've got a hard day ahead. But perhaps that is how we feel some days. But as the book of Ecclesiastes continues, we see that it offers much more positive and richer insights into the meaning and purpose of life. And we need to appreciate that Ecclesiastes is a journey. It's a journey of exploration. So we need to be careful not to reach conclusions about its message until we get to the end. In today's reading, the writer names up some of the dead ends he went down in his search to find that sense of meaning and purpose in life. The first of those, in verses 16 and 17 of chapter 1, was wisdom. I said to myself, see, I have amassed wisdom far beyond all those who were over me in Jerusalem before me, and my mind has thoroughly grasped wisdom and knowledge. I applied my mind to know wisdom and knowledge, madness and folly. I learned that this too is a pursuit of the wind. Now, King Solomon had a great reputation for his wisdom. The wisdom he offered people when it came to making difficult decisions or were needing practical advice for living. But even this wisdom that he had, that he shared with others, is described as a chasing after wind. And while much of Solomon's wisdom was committed to writing, there was the ever-present possibility that new situations would arise, and they too would call for wise action. So that if we go to the book of Proverbs, which is also rich in instruction for living, wise living, we need to be careful that its sayings are not used in a way that leaves God out of the picture. Because one of the things that it says is the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And in Psalm 14, we're told, the fool says in their heart, there is no God. If Ecclesiastes does come across as a little depressing at times, it's because the writer is seeking to find meaning and purpose in life, leaving God out of the picture. He's got an approach to life, the exploring, that says, we just are, and one day we will be no more. So better make the best of it while you can. Well, the Bible, by contrast, encourages us to delight in God's good gifts to us in creation. But when that delight becomes focused solely on self-gratification, or it becomes an end in itself, things are seriously out of order. Paul writes in Romans 1 about worshipping and serving what has been created rather than the Creator. Now, in the first 11 verses of chapter 2, the writer is setting out some of the main pleasures with which people seek to fill up their inner emptiness without reference to God. And the life as described is one that is self-consumed and hedonistic. And it's summed up in these words from today's reading. All that my eyes desired, I did not deny them. I did not refuse myself any pleasure. That describes so well the life that is overly focused on self. Now, the slides on the screen are taken from that text, or ideas in the text, and they describe the insatiable desire to acquire wealth and possessions, the overindulgence in the good things of life, the seeking of power over people, and the wanting to be thought well of by others. And the conclusion is that none of these things can bring that deep and lasting fulfilment that we need, that we seek. No matter how much we gain in these areas, there is still that inner emptiness. Now listen again to some of the words that are used in the text. Madness, folly, grief, sorrow, darkness, death. What's this accomplish? A hated life, And how his summary statement as he reflects on life is, I found everything to be futile and a pursuit of the wind. There was nothing to be gained under the sun. Outwardly, he had so much, but inwardly he was deeply empty. He was beginning to realise the truth that was expressed so well in that prayer of Augustine. You have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our heart is restless until it rests in you. Well, Solomon, being the king of Israel, would have amassed great personal wealth and possessions, along with his 700 wives and 300 concubines. Surely he was the man who had it all, money, sex and power. But none of those things could take away that deep emptiness within. And a big part of that inner emptiness is the recognition of our own mortality and the fact that we will be forgotten in the course of time. While I was preparing for today, I had occasion to look on the internet for some information about my old school. And down the bottom of the information about the school was a comment about a list of some of the old boys of the school. And the school existed for 47 years, was tightly limited enrolment, 160 each year, and we'd managed to generate 25 names on the Wikipedia list of notable alumni. When I looked through those 25 names, not only was I not on it, but there was only one name I could recognise. And that was a guy who'd been a student a couple of years ahead of me, who went on to play cricket for Australia. Well, the point is, in the course of time, most of us will be forgotten. Forgotten by those who follow after us. That doesn't make our lives any less significant, but it is a fact that we have to respond to. Now, in chapter 2, verse 15 and following, the writer describes this downward spiral of despair as he contemplates the meaning of life. I said to myself, what happens to the fool will happen to me also. For just like the fool, there's no lasting remembrance of the wise, since the days of both will be forgotten. I hated all my work that I laboured under the sun, because I must leave it to the one come after me. And who knows whether he will be wise or a fool. So whether it be in the family, in the workplace, or any other situation, there are simply no guarantees that those who follow after us will build well on the legacy that we leave them. But rather than that being a cause for despair, it should simply serve as a reminder to us to be faithful each day. And towards the end of today's reading, we have what is only the second reference to God in the book of Ecclesiastes. There are many more to come. In fact, by the time we get to the end of the book, God will have been mentioned on average every sixth verse. But at the moment, in chapter 2, verses 24 and 25, we have these words. There is nothing better for a person than to eat, drink, and enjoy his work. I have seen that even this is from God's hand, because who could eat and enjoy life apart from him? So here we have in those words an invitation. Rather than looking at life with despair, to see it as a gift from God. Not something that's futile and meaningless, but something that's rich in meaning. Far cry from that sense of hopelessness in so much of the early part of the book. If we see our lives as a gift from God, including all their difficulties and their challenges, we take on a new significance. And the question then becomes, how do we live each day as God's gift to us? Our work, whatever form that may take, is not a consequence of the fall or some necessary evil. It is God's calling to us, because we are his image bearers and we are the stewards of his creation. And yes, there is no guarantee about how wise or foolish those who follow after us will be. But rather than being anxious about that, the challenge is to simply focus on being faithful in the present, doing what we can to lay a good foundation for those who will follow. As I reflected on this text, I thought about some of the saddest pastoral situations I've ever had to deal with in my life. All of them involved seriously rich people, highly educated people, who were dealing with life and death issues. I'll cite three. One was a seriously ill young parent. He was realising that his only concern in life was for his own survival, not what his disability or death might mean for his wife and children. Another was a prominent company director who could no longer even recognise the people he loved. And another was a man on his dying bed, and the only words he heard were those of his children arguing about who was going to get what share of his estate. Meaningless, purposeless, pursuit of the wind, each one of those situations was indicative of that. Where we put our hope and trust in things that, while good, have no lasting value, inevitably anxiety and despair will set in. And life can become very difficult and challenging. If the writer of Ecclesiastes was indeed King Solomon, he would have done well to have meditated and ordered his life on the words of his father David in Psalm 62. Rest in God alone, my soul, for my hope comes from him. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my stronghold. I will not be shaken. My salvation and glory depend on God, my strong rock. My refuge is God. Trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your hearts before him. God is our refuge. Common people are only a vapour. Important people, an illusion. Together on a scale, they weigh less than a vapour. Place no trust in oppression or false hope in robbery. If wealth increases, do not set your heart on it. And remember, Jesus said, for where your heart is, there your treasure will be also. Let's pray. Father, you have made us for yourself, and we find our true meaning and purpose in life in relationship with you, that relationship we have with you now through your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you that the world we live in is no random event. It is your creation. You made it, and you made each one of us. You provided for us in your creation. You call us to be your stewards. We thank you that in your love, even when we turned away from you, you did not give up on us, but you searched us out through your Son, Jesus, that in his death on the cross, he bore the penalty of our rebellion against you, that we might be restored to relationship with you. Father, help us to find hope, life, and fulfillment in Jesus, and to follow him all our days. Amen.